It's just been absolutely wonderful. I came back to work the next day, and Chris, the owner, he says, it's amazing. And I says, yes, but your eyesight, you're saying, is not right. He says, no, it's malfunctioning. And I said, can I pray for you? And he says, sure. So I prayed for him, and then the Lord said to me, pray for salvation. So I said, would you like to come to know the Lord? And he says, yes, I would. So he prayed the prayer of asking the Lord into his life, and it was wonderful. He just received the salvation. So, you know, this is where it is, and that's what the Lord said to me when I was a farmer about 40 years ago. He says, you can't share the gospel with the cows. He says, go and share it with your fellow man. And his love just encompassed my heart when I said, no, Lord, I'm going to own my own farm one day. But no, he loved me. The love of the Lord just enveloped my heart. It was just absolutely heavenly. And here I am today. Come on. just praise the Lord. You know, it's really great. And it's on my heart, like Enoch walked with the Lord, and I believe that's where we are. To walk with the Lord and to be translated one day. Very good.
Thanks, Fred. God bless you. Thanks, Fred. Awesome. Now, some of you guys might be wondering what this is. I have explained to one or two people. You know, they look and they're polite and don't ask. Press that button. Better. This is latest technology. It's quite incredible that, you know, I can just walk down this aisle and we'll pick up all the details in your credit card. We'll suck it out, and we don't have to worry about a collection. I just download it into my account, and we're set. No, it's actually a hearing aid, and it's amazing. I've got my phone on, which, by the way, is on mute. I've turned it right down. And if my phone rings, it rings straight into my hearing aids. I just press that button, walk around talking, and people think I'm insane. And I'm just talking to myself. Or I can just turn the sound up and down. So it's the latest technology. So if you wonder what it is, that's what it is. So it's a great thing to have. I lost 25% of my hearing last year. They don't know why. They did a brain scan and they couldn't find anything. Nothing. Just daylight all the way through. That was interesting. Goes, you ever been in one of those things? They go, and away they go again. It's fun, you know. And they've got a mirror, you can see what's going on. And so if you get into panic mode, you just press a button, and they'll come and get you out. Hi, Andrew. How are you? So, yeah, really great. So, we got anybody else like to share? Oh, Kerry, thank you. Good.
Thanks, Graham. My name's Kerry Andrew. I'm from Christchurch. This happened 3 weeks ago. And my wife has had an incurable disease, which they can't give drugs to. The only thing they can do is give her Botox, which helps it. But we didn't go down that track because it was sort of the side effects are not that great. So it's called dystonia. She's had this neck problem, which is it's deep rooted in our brains, right in the middle, is our centre point, which is called C. And that controls our eyelids, all our muscles in our body. And she's been praying, you know, over the 20 years we've had a lot of people pray on her, ministers and that come and try and shift it. And it's got a little bit better, you know. But it was sort of, when Orion was under stress, it would become worse. And a year ago, Ori and I started this church called City East Church. It's on the east side of Christchurch, the church service that we go to is on a Monday night, and it's called Nightlife. And the Nightlife Church is set up for people that struggle to get into a Sunday service. And they might not, with the nightlife, it's also for people that have mental and drug alcohol problems, and sort of when you go, you know, they might look a little bit different, and people won't speak to them on a Sunday because they're different. So we have the service on a Monday night, and 3 weeks ago we were worshiping, and under the anointing, we had about three or four songs, and glory to God, Orion got completely healed. Yeah. And we actually had to wait sort of a week, 2 weeks, see if it was real. You know, like, is this really for real? And the glory and the honour goes to the Father in heaven, because Orion is completely, completely healed and set free and a normal person again, which is, you know, yeah, and the glory and the honour to the Father. Thank you.
Thank Kerry. Hmm. Isn't it important to everybody to find a place? Yeah, we do get people that come on the door, and we do in our type of church that we go to. We got one lady there. She was a prostitute for 12 years. Christian lady, went into prostitution. Don't ask me how that all worked. But anyway, she got saved and in the church. And then she starts talking about inviting all these people she knows, like transvestites. And I'm saying, you know, we're a huggy church. And I was like, I'm at the door. And I thought, do I hug these people? Do I shake their hands? What do you do? You know, we're not used to it. The first thing, I'm not sure about this. Well, yes, we should be sure, because the gospel is for everyone. And even the people we can't relate to, there will be somebody in your church that can relate to them. And we had a couple of street people come in the other day, and one of our Maori ladies there, she's about 55, 60. They're both Maori folks. She took them under their wing, and they started to find a place, their Salvation Army, etc., to help out, and Wins to get them going and find the place. And then there's another five come along. So this lady just has taken it up as her ministry of reaching these people and helping them to find a place, which is what we should do. We should be welcoming to all people. And some folk just do not fit where we are. I remember many, many years ago, we were in an open Brethren church, great Bible teaching. We could never get Maori folk into our church. You know, we had our suits and our ties on, and we were just so prim and proper, and we had this orderly box-type meeting that we sat in. But when the Maori assembly came over to us, we just loved it, because they had this open style. If you happened to be sitting right there, you could be the preacher. Hey, bro, you like to take service this morning? Next thing you're on. You know, that was the way they went, and their singing was just amazing. And we just so enjoyed their open style, even though we were so legalistic in a box. Yeah, you know, lovely, wonderful people, a great foundation for learning the gospel in the Open Brethren Church. Anybody else like to share? Oh, good. And next, Trevor.
I'm Mike Bunt from Dunedin. Last year we went across to Australia. I'm originally from Australia, and I was walking along the beach one morning, probably around about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Who believes that God can speak to you along when you're walking along the beach? Yeah. And I've been over there a couple of weeks, and I've been a little bit dry, and I said, Lord, it's been really a bit dry these last couple of weeks while I've been here. Could you bring someone along that I could speak to and even pray with? And I often say a prayer, Lord, open a door that I could share Jesus with someone today. And so that was along the lines I prayed. And as I was coming back, heading back to my car, I looked up, and there's a woman. She's a little bit older than me, and we just said hello. Not many people there, but there were people walking about, and we said good morning, and what a lovely day it was, and then we kept going. Next thing, I get this Holy Spirit, I believe, said to me, I want you to pray a blessing on her. I said, oh. So I called out to her, and sheepishly, I said, oh, look, he says, I'm a Christian. She said, oh, so am I. I thought, oh, thank goodness for that. But I said, God speaks to me a bit, and I believe he's asked me to pray a blessing upon you. And I said, would you allow me to do that? And she said, yes. And I said, look, sometimes I speak in tongues. Is that all right if I did that as well? And she said, oh, I might join you. So I prayed a blessing upon her, but that wasn't the reason why he set this meeting up. Then she started saying, her name was Denise, and Denise said, oh, she'd been having some physical problems, sickness, but the main reason, her husband had been unfaithful to her. and she'd forgiven him, but it was causing all sorts of problems still in her life. And immediately bitterness came to me, because you can get angry, but then you have to forgive. But if bitterness gets in, is a foul spirit, okay? And I knew that because I've had to be dealt with bitterness. So I said, look, let me pray against bitterness. And I explained to her, and I prayed for her, and she was set free. She was set free in the beach, people walking by. And so she went away rejoicing, and I went away rejoicing as well. So just be prepared when you ask, he'll answer. And like these, I just love that testimony of your guys. I don't know if I'm that game yet, but that's a great testimony, James. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Trevor?
Trevor Hook from Taranaki, Stratford Taranaki in the cow country. And, the other day, it was a couple of weeks ago, I was going home and I wasn't thinking about anything at all, just getting home, and came to this corner, I had to turn right, and there's cars coming. It's like an intersection, it's like a cross intersection. The cars that are coming from my right, often trucks go to the right because there's a shortcut for them because it's too sharp for them to turn further down. And so it's tricky getting across, particularly the cars coming from the right. And I saw some cars coming along the left, and I suddenly looked up, and these cars going along, and there's a guy there, and he's trying to get a ride, a Maori fella. And the Lord said to me, "That's him." And I knew I had to pick up this guy. So I got across and I pulled over and I slowed down. And then I said, and I'm in my Jag, of course, and this Maori fellow is not expecting me, a guy, you know, me, picking up him in my Jag. It's an older Jag and it's quite a cheap car, really. But so I picked him up and he looked around and he didn't even know that. I said, "Yeah, hop in." So he hops in, and I had to move my Bible and bits and pieces that were still there from the Sunday. And anyway, hops in and he tells me his life story. And he started to share that where he'd come from, and he was living in a place called Normandy, which is south of about 20 minutes south of Stratford. And he was on his way back home. He was new to the area. He'd come from up north. He was a farmer. He was his family was involved in a gang, and he decided at 16 that he didn't want anything to do with the gang. So he just said, "No, not for me. I'm out of here." Left home at 16. He got a job on a farm. And he said, "I've never seen my mother since that time, or my family. I've had nothing to do with them." He said, one time I ran a fish and chip shop, and I'd often be open quite late at night, and I'd be working through, cleaning everything up at night, and it was just too much for him, he said, in the end. So he made a lot of money from the fish and chip shop, and then he bought a house. He was freehold, and then he moved down to Normandy. Just recently, but he had an accident. He was chainsawing and a branch or something hit him in the head, so he's having all these headaches, and so he was went to the Taranaki Base Hospital. He was just on his way back. His car had broken down. He told me he had some expensive cars by the sound of things. Anyway, they weren't going, and he'd taken a bus in, because there was a bus that goes into that direction, but on his way back, he was just hitchhiking, and there I was picking. I thought I'll pick this guy up, because the Lord said, "That's him." So I pick him up and hear his life story. And then we came into Stratford. Look, I'm on my way to Stratford. I'm not going all the way to Normandy, otherwise I'll take you. But I've got to get to the bank, and I was running out of time. So I said, "Look, I'll take you to the second roundabout, because the second roundabout is a straight bit of road, and you could pull over. And so people, if he was hitchhiking from there, he'd get a ride." So, but when I stopped, I said, "Look, I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." And one of the things he said, "I've got this family coming in. They're homeless. They don't have a home. There's four of them. They're complete strangers." And I said, "That's commendable that you're doing that. You know, that he had this compassion to take in this homeless family into his home." And he's not a Christian, this guy, at all. But he was open for me to pray for him. So I said, "Mind if I pray for you?" He said, "Oh, go ahead." And so I just prayed for him. I prayed for his healing, and didn't have long, of course. Only had about 2-3 minutes. And then I prayed for his salvation. I prayed for the fact that God was on it. God is on his case, that he loves him and he cares for him. And then he said, and as he got out, he said, I shook my hand, then he shook my hand again. He said, oh, lovely, lovely leather seats. He liked the leather seats. But, you know, this is I can be a blessing. And this is just, you just pick people up. And the Lord just tells you which ones to pick up. He says, that person or that person. He has people picked out. There's some people that, no, doesn't want that person. And an amazing thing, as I was, so that was a real blessing. And I shot round, turned round and went to the bank, did my thing. But I just rejoiced, and for several days I just prayed for him and kept praying for his salvation, because I thought he's not far from the kingdom. And there's a church down there just started in Normandy, and I was praying that he'd actually go to that church. I was just sort of praying into that situation. But as I was coming up, I discovered about the convention you had at Rotorua, and one of the speakers, I've forgotten, it was Vidal or something like that. Greek, yeah. He talked about this. Oh, I already know about that. Yeah, don't have to tell me that. That happens to me all the time. Then I discovered I had this word of knowledge. Anyway, I was going along and going along the road and in this little township coming up this way. And what actually happened was that as I came up, it was like this. Slow down, slow down, slow down. Can't see anything. Why should I be slowing down? So I slowed down and suddenly there's a guy crossing. I never saw him. Couldn't even see him. But the Lord just warned me. And the other thing, I had another warning even before that. The Lord said to me, don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Just take your time. So I was going along, only doing 90K. Suddenly there's a truck coming around the corner, and he was cutting the corner. And suddenly he saw me. Phew, he shot over, you know. But if I was doing 100K, I would have been smashed up, or I had to avoid him somehow. So the Lord, he protects you. He warns you. He guides your life and to meet people. So I'm unafraid to meet people because I've learned over the years you don't have to be afraid of what reaction you're going to get, because God's got it all sorted out.
Thanks, Trevor. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Yeah, we're on a journey, aren't we? Life's a journey. Who are we taking with us as we travel? I heard someone tell a story years ago, and you know, if you go through the graveyards, Napier's got a very old graveyard, and it's very interesting to go through it and look at the tombstones and, you know, ages and who they were and all the rest of it. But as you go through, it'll say Graham Eric Eagle, 19th of July 1947 19th of July 2087. Bit of a margin for error there. Just for I don't want to preempt anything, so, but, you know, it's not the start that's important, it's not the finish that's important, it's the dash in between. How's your dash going? You know, and life, sometimes we do dash through life, but who do we take with us, who do we encounter as we travel? You know, do we affect people, touch their lives as we move on? And that's what we need to do. Yep, do it.
Stephen. Yeah, good. Hello, Stephen here from Auckland. The Mount Albert chapter. Yes. Well, we've been going up on a mountain for many, many years every Saturday morning. And we pray for everything and anyone in the world. And I mean anything and everyone. And at one stage we were praying for my brother, Brett. He's my twin brother. And he's actually transformed his whole life with the prayers and love and joy that we have with the Full Gospel members. He came here today and just talk to us. And it's the first time he's actually accepted the men around us. And he actually was an amazing person. He was a negative person, he still is, but he's slowly, we're peeling him away as we normally do with men. And it's like that in life with all of us. We're just peeling bits and pieces from people that we know, and they will say, oh, I'm missing what we've got. I mean, we've got out the Lord with us. And it's like with my son. He's actually transformed his life. He was a very negative, both my boys are negative. They despised me, something unbelievable. A lot of our kids are like that when they're growing up. And then they realise once they get old enough, they want what we've got. And that's love. Love for mankind. And that's what I think the Lord's doing for every one of us. Is sending us out there and being soldiers for him and people around us. Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Stephen. You know, when we come into a room, no matter where we are, we bring the presence of God with us because he's in us. And it's been very interesting over the last 30 years. My factory, I think I built it 20 years ago, a brand new factory, about 30-odd thousand square feet. When they were laying the concrete, I prayed into the very foundations for harmony, for peace, that there'd be a blessing in this place. I've had about six people over the last few years, even strangers, have walked into our factory and said, there's something about this place. It's a happy place. There's just something about it. And I just sold that building a year ago as part of my move from retirement. And we're going to put it on the market. There's a few million dollars worth. And the guy that came from Gisborne said, this is amazing. There's just something about this factory. And he put the first offer in over above the asking price. I said, done. We'll take it. Don't go to market. You know, he likes us. He just said, there's something about the presence of this place. And I actually prayed into the very foundations of that building that there'd be a peace and a blessing in it. So, you know, we bring the presence of God. And, you know, as we look around the room here, there's a few of us getting a bit of silver here. And we're getting on. Yeah, you're okay, Danny. He shines in the dark. But, you know, we might be saying, hey, full gospel, we're sort of over there. No, we're not. And the church that I'm in, you know, very multicultural. We got a lot of young people, and they're the life of our church. Our musos are 21 and under, and they are fantastic. And we've got young people sort of 15 upwards, and three of them, they've just gone through, their parents have broken up, and Oriana is 15, and Tiata's 18. Tiata is just drop-dead gorgeous. Rotahi, you can never see him. If you want to see someone dance up here, this guy just leaps up in the air. He is just amazing. But these people have come from broken homes, and they don't know stability. And for the life of them, they can't understand how someone can be a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years. 53 years since I gave my life to the Lord. Actually, a bit more than that now. But, you know, we need to be there as stability as an example, because we bring the presence of God as we walk in that room. And we have young people, they come up and they give us a hug, and, you know, we're a very huggy church. And it's important for all of you that you, you know, try and learn the names. Oh, man, I'm having a job learning all these Maori names. You know, I got Rotahi. And we've got Moni Noah, he's an islander. And the only reason I managed to remember that was Noah takes money into the ark. Moni Noah. So I had to try and remember it somehow. But everybody's got an abbreviated name. There's Noah. And then we've got Oceana. She's called Oshi. She's about 16. She's come back from Australia to do some education. And, yeah, you know, just to be able to speak into the lives of these young people, that's what we're about. So, guys, it's not over. You know, we've got a fair chunk to go before we kick in the bucket and get into that box. So someone's got something they want to share. Yep, good. Fred.
Yeah, I'd just like to share. We're talking about miracles this morning and healings. And I'd like to just tell you about this young girl. She's about 15 or 16. And she had this huge blastoma. By the way, I'm from Levin. God's moving in Levin, friends. You better believe it. And she had this huge blastoma. You could see it through her clothes, pushing her blouse out. And I made arrangements for Jack and myself to go and pray for her. We're on our way to the full gospel meeting. And so we made this arrangement. And one of my daughters is a school teacher, and the teacher of her at the college said, Abby is her name, won't be with us much longer. There's no hope for her. And if you saw the size of the tumour, you would probably have agreed with her. But my daughter said, well, my father's a preacher, and Jack's a preacher, leading us down there in the full gospel, and we'll come round and pray for her. So we went round this night, and she was sitting on the sofa, and we prayed for her and anointed her with oil. And, well, to make a long story short, this is about at least a year ago, isn't it, Jack? Might be more. Anyhow, the good news is, this last Sunday at the Life Church, she's up the front getting some more prayer. But the tumour's only just a very slight thing now. It's almost completely gone. Now, the doctors did everything they could for her. They gave her radiation. They gave her chemotherapy. They said, can't do any more. So it's not quite complete. And I feel that, you know, if I can say to encourage you folks, and myself too, for that matter, we're just going to hang in until the complete miracle's done. But it's on its way. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Ivan. Great. Anyone else?
Hi there. I went down to Wellington, and I went before the Health Committee at Parliament and against this euthanasia. And I want to talk to you about what I said. I told them that I wasn't going to repeat what I wrote about. Instead, I'm going to extend it. And I'm going to talk about a bad accident I had and how this accident is actually connected to the subject on euthanasia. I told them I was farming at the time and I was burning stubble off, and to my amazement, the green grass caught fire around the stubble. And I didn't know, but apparently green grass burning lets off carbon monoxide. And I breathed it in. And I went out to it. I lay down on the ground. When they found me, the fire had gone around me, keeping about 1 metre from me. And the sack I'd been holding to control the fire had turned to ash, and now all that smoke was billowing straight into my face. So I was rushed to the Palmer North Hospital. That evening, the doctors put me on the ventilator to help me breathe. The next morning, they cut my wrist here, and the scar is still there. And when the surgeon started, blood just shot out across the room, and he really thought I was going to lose all my blood from that one spot. So they immediately started me on blood transfusion, but now they found themselves inserting needles all around my body, trying to get this good blood into me. But each place they pushed the needle in, blood was spurt out, and so for the next half hour, blood was spurting out everywhere out of this body. And then my body started to take the good blood, but now over the next 3 days, my body just swelled right up, huge. And I was told it went a complete grey colour. My brain swelled within my head so much that the doctors told my wife that if I did live, I'd be a vegetative for the rest of my life. Now, I said to them, I wanted to get this printed. And, Graham down here, he didn't believe, you know, he said that whatever you said in here, there's no way you can be alive today. And in the end, he said, okay, well, look, we'll believe you if you can get a letter from the doctor that was on duty when you were first taken to the Palmerston North Hospital. This was actually 20 years later, so it was pretty doubtful whether I could get a letter from the doctor. But anyway, I did get a letter from the doctor, and this is what he said. Dear Robert, in request for your hospitalisation 1984, unfortunately I'm not able to obtain medical records because of the length of time involved. But you must appreciate that my recollection of your stay is sketchy. But I do remember if you had not gone on the ventilator you never would have survived. Although we always hope that a patient will survive, in your case, we didn't hold out much chance because of the severity of your asphyxiate. Now I came back to the time when I was in hospital on the third night. My prognosis was about as bad as it could get. My body was completely dry, completely swollen right up, and I had tubes all over me. In fact, my wife said she'd never seen anyone with so many tubes around a person ever before. And most of his tubes were putting the good blood into me, but there was a tube going to my mouth that was connected to the ventilator to help me breathe, and another one was going into my nose, and that was going down into my stomach. And that, as my stomach was hemorrhaging really badly, and that was removing all the waste from out of my stomach. So now, going into the fourth day, on my dry skin, there was yellow could be seen. And that told the doctors that my liver was shutting down. Now, the doctors had done their best for me. They couldn't do any more, really. It was just a waiting time. And as they waited, suddenly my body started to quiver. And my wife touched my hands and body and yelled, "It's the Holy Spirit." And Romans 8:11, it says, if you've got the same spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit will quicken your mortal body. And I said to them, I said, mortal, that means subject to death. So that means that, in other words, right on the very fringes of that actually happening, that God then moved. So my trusting in God paid off, because I'm here to testify what God did for me. So God wants everybody to trust in him. And then if I trust in him, he'll heal them of his sicknesses and diseases. He'll restore limbs. He'll even do dental work. He'll do anything. God wants everybody to trust in him, not this euthanasia. And then I quoted what one of the MPs have wanted to pass in the petition for the right to die by choice. And I said, that's an abomination to God. And that's how I finished. So,
Thanks, Rob. Awesome. Who else we got? Volunteers. This is a great opportunity. Keith, this is a great opportunity because we're about testimonies. Someone once said, don't forget to tell the tribal story. You know, we pass on generation to generation the stories of what God's been doing in our lives as a testimony and encouragement to others. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you for sharing that very, very powerful story. Mine's not a powerful story like that, but I have a friend in Raglan who 2 years ago they turned off his machinery. The family had to make that decision. And that's when God stepped in and healed and restored him. And he gives God the glory. He gives God the glory. Amen. Amen. It took that situation. But pray for Neville as well, because since then they've diagnosed asbestos. And now he's fighting that. And we're praying for a miracle for Neville in that realm as well. So I just thank you for that story you told us, because that's your story. A very, very powerful story. And I trust and believe that that's touched the lives of those politicians that heard it. And we just leave that in his hands. Mine's a very, very simple story. Many of you know that I've driven a camper van for the last 14 years, little Mitsubishi L300. Well, we made the decision to sell that the other day, some time ago. It's all over. It's sold. That's another story. Well, that's a story that goes with it. So we bought a new van. And yes, we were going to downsize, but didn't quite happen that way. It upsized just a tad. Looks good. Owen's seen it. Well, we were driving this vehicle along Mount Albert Road Sunday, nearly 2 weeks ago, coming through the Dominion Road intersection. We know that, don't we? Graham? And the lanes merge into one at that point as the traffic just carries on flowing down Mount Albert Road. 9:30 at night, been away at an induction service for a new pastor. And Maureen shouts, "Watch out!" as the car hit us on the side. It bounced off us. He went this way and I went this way, and I thought, there we go. Brand new vehicle. Cleared the intersection, pulled up, and the man says, sorry, I did that a year ago. Doesn't work when you pass on the left in merging lanes, or the lanes have merged. I got in the van and grabbed my torch and went out and looked at his car first, and he said, oh, there's a couple of white marks here, but that's just added to the collection, don't worry about those. What about yours? And I started at the back of the van with the torch, and I walked along the fiberglass all the way down the front. not a scratch. Except on the front arch of the door of the wheel arch, the front wheel, there's about a fist-sized dent in the arch. I give God the glory because that new van could have been wiped, the whole side could have been wiped out with that one car action. But God protected it to the degree that he said, the driver of the other car said, he said, I felt like I bounced off. And we can see on the mag wheel, the front left-hand mag wheel of the car, of the van, where it had scuffed the rubber tire, must have been his back wheel, I guess, because that's where his little bit of white mark was left. And I just thank God that we touched and we bounced off. Yes, we've left a bruise. Just a small bruise. Left a man that was quivering and shaking, and a wife that was a little distraught. But by the grace of God, there was no damage, apart from a little bruise on the panel. The conclusion of the story is this, really, that our old van, we'd driven for 14 years, it's done 100,000 kilometres. We wanted to start marketing, and there's no point in trying to trade it in with the organisation that we'd bought the new van from. So we decided to market it at a Good News Vanners rally that we'd been at Mount Maunganui. Good News Vanners rally is the group of Christians that travel together and travel separately or travel independently. But we have a little blue logo on our van, Good News Vanners. And you can work out what good news means, I'm sure. And we try and share the good news. Well, we left this brochure, I'd printed quite a number of them and left them on the table when we were down at this rally for the weekend at Easter. And I said to Maureen halfway through the weekend, boy, I think someone must have cleared the table because all the brochures are gone. So I put a few more out, not thinking too much more of it. No one spoke to me. I guess one person spoke to me about it, but that was the last thought I had about the sale of that van. We'd come home, we were packing to go to Wellington and reorganise our lives. We a family that's in a distressed situation, we needed to go down and see them. And while we're down there, I got a phone call. This lady from Palmerston North had rung to say, I picked up one of your brochures. Is that van still for sale? And I said, yes, it is. She said, well, we're talking to a friend the other day. We've just bought a new van, and they were drooling over it and saying, oh, it's a beautiful van. We'd like something like that, but we can't afford that. So we said, yes, it's available. She said, I'll drop a brochure around to them. The next day, I got a phone call from the couple that dropped the brochure to. By then, I'd got photographs on a cell phone, on a camera stick, because that was the process, isn't it? You get grandkids to organise advertising and Trade Me and all that sort of thing. Long story short, this couple we met in Taupo on Friday, they fell in love with our old vehicle, and they offered us the money that we agreed was appropriate for the sale. Once again, God went before us. We chose to purchase a new vehicle, and he had in hand someone to buy the old vehicle. And I just give him the glory. Even though we've got a little bruise on the new vehicle, he was in charge and completeness. And as Rod shared about his testimony, the angels were protecting. Angels protected him, and I just give glory to God for his abundance in the small things and in the big things. And we're praying for the big things as well, aren't we? We're believing for the big things. Believing for the big things for Danny's wife, Tracy. And we continue to believe for that. Healing for her also, in Jesus' name. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Jess. It's easy to be a Christian when things are going real good and there's plenty of money in the bank and you don't have any problems. But when things go wrong, it tests you a little bit. What's that verse in the Bible says, though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, yet will I still praise the Lord. And don't you get times in your life when things go wrong that you get grumpy? Oh, I come back from Australia a week ago on a business trip, and it just was one of those dead business trips. Nothing much happened. And my nephew, who I haven't seen for 20 years, my brother died 15 years ago in Australia, and he contacted me some time ago and wanted to catch up. And I said, well, that's nice. He's married now, got kids and so on. So I told him, yeah, I'm coming over, and 3 weeks ago, told him the date. And so I went over there, and I've been texting him saying I'd stay an extra night and an extra day, a rental car, motel, all the stuff, and I'm flying out at midnight, and it's because I've just spent the day and catch up with him and the family and so on. And he never answered any texts. The only time he'd answer, he said, where are you, Graham, at 3 in the afternoon as I'm heading to the airport? Oh, said, had trouble with the kids. So just a wipeout. And then when I got the rental car back, I parked the car, and the guy looked around. And he saw. He said, "There's damage under the front bumper there." And you know, you park your car in the gutter, and there's some cars are low, and it just scuffed it a bit. And I sort of licked it, and you get most of the mark off it. But anyway, oh no, no. So you go to the office. So I went to the office, and they said, "Oh yes, there's damage. That would be $4,500, please." Pardon? Well, I said, "You've got company cover. Your excess is $4,500." But I said, if it costs $50 to buff it, that'd probably be it. Well, sir, sorry, sir, that's our policy. We take all the money, and then what it costs to fix, we deduct and give you what's left over back. So I came out, my credit card yesterday came out, $5,200 New Zealand dollars. So it was over $5,000. I'm getting pretty grumpy. And my nephew stood me up, and I wasted a day at a night in a motel and a car and $5,000 excess. And you know, praise the Lord. So I come home and told Linda, oh dear, dear, dear. But anyway, it'll all come out, won't it? It'll all come out in the wash. So yeah, who was going to share? Yeah, here we are, good.
I wanted to mention about the result. The health committee, the person who chaired the meeting, that was Barbara, she stood to her feet, and which was unusual. She never stood to her feet after anybody else spoke. And she said, Robert, I want to thank you for sharing that. That was a very, very, very powerful submission that you've submitted to the Health Committee. And we really appreciate you for sharing that. And the MP that was beside her, he was saying, thank you very much, Robert. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so I'm just letting you know, that really was the outcome.
Thanks, Robert. Anybody else to share? Good. Yeah. We've got plenty of time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, come on. I don't know about you guys, but I'm hungry. Amen. God's going to do something in this conference, but we've got to stir ourselves up. Amen. If you are walking with me the last few weeks and you see the amount of people that are coming to Christ, the amount of miracles I'm seeing every day, people that are saying things can't happen, and I'm being brought into the house, and I'm leading them to Christ, delivering them, setting them free. I tell you, the harvest right now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. It's not looking for something more for us to do. It's the Holy Ghost. What's in your hand? The power of God. Amen. It's not time to be talking and discussing and trying to make good arguments with people about why they should come to Christ. You've got to reach out your hand in the name of Jesus and watch what he does. In this last few months, we've just watched family after family coming to Christ. Cripples walking. Just last week, just in 1 week, I mean, there was, four or five people came to Christ just in my week. Not about going to Wellington and seeing all the people delivered and healed and set free, but in our week in church, a lady rings me up and said, look, there's a person in Ragland, a lady, she's got fibromyalgia, she's got Crohn's disease, she's got arthritis, she can't walk, she's in screaming pain, she's works with mediums, she's a new age witch. She won't listen to you, but will you come and talk? Everything in my spirit goes, yes, Jesus! Come on! They drag me out to the house. She doesn't know who I am. She's curled up in a ball on the bed, just groaning in pain. And I said, listen, honey, I said, I can tell you right now, because I've learnt fibromyalgia comes from sexual abuse. I said, you've been sexually abused. She started crying. I said, yes, I have. His daughter's sitting on the other side of the bed. I said, well, honey, I said, how bad's the pain? She says, 9 out of 10. I said, I can't walk. I just can't move off this bed. She just got so bad. So I said, well, listen, we're going to do some ministry this afternoon. I'm going to cast some demons out of you. Because I'm leading people day after day to Christ because I cast the demons out of them. because I front up and I tell them that this is a spiritual problem and that I'm not going to come and lay my hands on and do a pat prayer. I'm going to cast some demons out of them. Yeah. And they don't run away. She was, anything, bro. I'm in pain, so much pain. Do what you like. But I said, before you do, I'm going to pray and just show you that Jesus loves you without me doing anything. Laid hands on and prayed and the pain went out of her body. And we started praying. An hour and a half later, we delivered her of all the stuff. She's up off her bed, walking around completely healed. Her whole household came around. Every one of them wanted to be prayed for. Little 12-year-old boy. They're all running into the kitchen to find out how mummy's walking. How good is God? Come on, hallelujah. Praise God. There's fire in your belly. There's fire in our hands. And we've got to release it. Amen. I mean, I'm asked to go out to all these people, family members that nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Some of James and Greg's family was asked out to their place to talk to one of the young men. He's about 24 that had a hernia in his stomach. But he wanted me to come and pray because he couldn't get healed through any doctors. But so long, I could pray so long as I didn't lead him to Christ. But praise God. His auntie, she's an absolute atheist. She's been as hard as hell for how long? Forever. Absolutely impossible to come to Christ. So I'm dragging her to the room and I'm introduced to this fellow I don't know and I'm just telling him, listen, mate, I'm going to pray. I said, unfortunately, I can't pray without bringing the power of God in this room. I said, sickness comes from the pit. It's from the devil. So I said, if you may not want me to lead you to Christ, but if you'll pray along with me in prayers and allow me to break the curse off your life, you'll be healed. So I said, whatever. So I started praying with him, breaking off all these curses, and he's just standing there. And then I didn't feel anything happening. I said to him, what's happening, mate? You changed my world. He said, right now. He said, stuff was leaving out of me. It was coming off me. It's incredible. Turned to his mother, is it his mother? Yeah, who's Robin? Who's his mother? Ethan's? No, his grandmother. Yeah. I said to her, listen, I'm on a roll now. She'd been determined she wasn't having none of this Jesus stuff. But I said, listen, can I bless you? Because I know the Pope gets away with that. and Cheryl... great grandmother, she says, no, she's got a broken wrist. She's got pain, they can't get rid of it. So I said, going to pray for the wrist? She said, yes, prayed for the wrist, the pain left. But if there was a little bit left, prayed again, all gone. I said, listen, guys. Says, this awesome? They go, whoa, that's awesome. Would you like to give your lives to Christ? Please, yes, please. Robin, who was the most hardest woman, she's the first one at church, smiling, grinning, beaming like crazy. I mean, just day after day after the last week, just all over the place. Don't matter where you put the kingdom of God is within us. But we've got to get up with a purpose, determination, amen? That we're not wandering through our life, but we're redeeming our lives for Jesus. Get up and you pray in tongues. And don't just pray in tongues like fill the car with petrol and leave it idling in the garage till it runs out. Put it in gear. Come on. Because honestly, I can't keep up with the stories of souls being saved. Anybody's in my church? We got cripples walked out of their chairs, families restored. Young man that's coming tonight, Mike's not here, is he, Mike Cox? Mike Cox, he's got a powerful testimony. Fell through a plate glass window 11 years ago, cut his, artery in here, died, bled to death, went to heaven, had an encounter with Jesus. Came back, died again twice on the table. But he lives with this enormous story of how awesome God is and the angels that spoke to him and all this stuff. But for the last 11 years, he's been crippled and unable to walk past this. He's lost his business, was going downhill. He lost his house. And he joined our church just before Christmas. And he came up the altar call and said, what are you up here for, Mike? And he says, oh, I can't bend my knees. His pain's constant. So I said, well, I'm going to pray now in the name of Jesus. You're going to be healed now. You're not coming to my church with sickness. I might sound very rich, but I'm determined that unless I make a strong stand, I tell you what, the world's so wishy-washy. Christians are making alignments and agreements with anything that's hard. Well, that's just how it is. I'm dying of cancer. Cast the demon out. Amen. Just did that a couple of days ago, didn't we, James? So, but in the middle of this time, I prayed for this guy. I prayed hard out. And for the first time, and normally I see them happen instantly in front of me, he didn't get healed. But I said to him, as I heard him walking away, I heard him saying to his wife, he said, look, my business started failing after this happened and I lost a house after this happened. So I pulled him up and I said, brother, that's not God. I said, we're going to come and pray for your business. We're going to bless your business. And God's going to break something off your life. So I went round to his office to pray for his business on Tuesday night. First thing he says is, look at this, Jeff. Look at this, Jeff. No pain. He said, I went into the gym like I do normally to do my upper workouts. And he said, I went up to the gym instructor. He said, John, he says, one day this year I'm going to be able to bend my knees. And the guy said, what are you doing? Whoa. walked him into the office to pray for his business. The glory of God filled that room. Power of God just filled the room. He started manifesting demons. 2.5 hours later, his wife's sitting in the other chair. She gets delivered. He gets delivered. Hallelujah. When we'd finished the next day, the business that was failing went rocketed. He couldn't keep up with the business. They can't keep up with the work. It was incredible. Just, Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen? What I realized is so many Christians are walking way below what they're called to walk in. Amen? And if we don't look at deliverance as part of the call of God on our lives, these people are living, he needed deliverance. There was a curse on him that was locking his financial provision. When I broke the curse, restored the relationships with him and his mother and his wife. His wife had a car accident 30 years ago. She couldn't move a neck more than this without excruciating pain. When I prayed, this demon manifest. This was a few weeks later. As I was walking out of church, just touched her. The demon manifest, cast it out. Instantly, she's healed. But they've got a house now. 2 months. Only 2 months. Got a home. Can't keep up with a financial blessing. Hallelujah. Their children that weren't talking to them are starting to relate to them again. Because once the curse breaks off them, they can walk free. Another little lady from South Africa came. She was on crutches, couldn't walk, tormented pain. Came to my church, come up the front asking for money. And I thought, oh, here we go again. But that's cool. But she asked me to come and pray because she can't walk on these crutches. Prayed, she got healed. Awesome. Then she tells me that her daughter, 19-year-old daughter, so much hatred for her. She won't come out of her room. She just hates her mother so much. And she's crying. She says, I can walk, but my daughter won't come out of my room. So I said, well, we're going to pray because my God will bring her out of her room. I said, let's agree together in the name of Jesus that she's going to let me pray for her. She said, she never will. Next night I got a ring saying, she'll let you pray for her. As I went around to pray, she was sitting hard, but I took her through deliverance. Within an hour, she'd been, demons gone out all over the place. She was just saying, I said to her, now how do you feel about your mother? She said, I just can't understand what was ever wrong. I can't understand what's wrong. They're both beaming, aren't they? Glowing like candles. Day after day, I just walk into houses. Because that's the anointing that you and I are carrying. And you've got to break the curse. See, too many of us think this, and the curse was done away with. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus bore the curse. But I tell you, he bore the sins of the world too. And you don't get saved unless you appropriate it. You don't get delivered unless you make a demand on the anointing for deliverance to break the curse. Amen? And all I know is, whatever your theology is or on that subject, all I know is, I can't keep up with the fruit. Hey, James. All we got is every day I go in and I see people delivered. Cancers, they'll tell me they're going to hospital. So I'll ring, I'll start rebuking it over the phone. They'll start barfing on the other end of the phone. The things leave. Because we have got to own up and lay a hold of the anointing that Jesus has given us. Amen. He told us first to cast out demons. Then they would speak in tongues. Amen. And then they would lay hands on them and they'd be recovered. I just want to encourage you. It takes time. A young man came to me just 3 weeks ago from Te Amuruwi. He rang me up, I was just coming home, because honestly, I'll be honest, I can't keep up with the work. I can't remember how many people I'm leading to Christ, and I don't know where the workers are. I've got a great church, hey, great church of people. But I mean, the work, and I'm looking around and people are wondering what to do with Jesus. Get on your face, start fasting. Because without fasting and prayer, there's no power, amen? We fast, we pray in tongues for hours, pray all the time. And I won't stop because I can only see that God wants to bring a revival across New Zealand. And he's looking for the people, and I'm looking at them, I'm saying they're here now, amen? You and I carry that glory. And that we've got to be prepared to expect that in this next season, I believe the seasons change right now. You know, this is a time when we have to make sure that we've made ourselves ready, that we haven't become the old wineskins, that we aren't so full of talking about what we were doing back then, but what are we doing today? How pliable are you? How ready are you to hear a fresh word? How many of you agreed that somehow you're old when the Bible says old things have passed away and you've become new? Come on.
What about the guy from Tiomania 3 weeks ago?
That was amazing. That was incredible. So I'm running flat off my feet and this text comes through. This guy's just babbling away. He was struggling with, he wanted to murder his boss. He was saying he was homosexual. He was cross-dressing. He was just filled with pornography. All he wanted to do was kill himself. All he wanted, the list went on, honestly. I could go on for half an hour. He's just sharing all the things that are wrong. So I said, listen, come round to my place and I'll pray for you. And I'm thinking, oh dear God, here we go. there'll be a few hours in this one. And I said to James, come with me, James, I'm going to teach you some deliverance. So James and I walked in the house, he just sat down and he started going off his head about all the stuff. I said, stop now. So I'm going to break the curses off your life and I'm going to pray for you. So I took him through breaking off the generational curses. And he said, he kept saying to me, he said, people have told me that, that you know, when they've discerned, maybe I was abused when I was a little boy. Maybe it was my uncle, maybe it was somebody. And I said, well, let me pray and then I'm going to tell the devil to get up and face me. So I prayed, broke off all the curses and I said, now, devil, come out. I did that for 5 minutes. The next thing, a demon got in my face. Hey! He tried to take me out. I bound his hands in the spirit, and didn't I, James? Sat him down on the chair. Shut up. I said, what's your name? He said, I am. And he told me his name. I'm telling his name. Yelled it at me. And who are you? I said, I'm his father. I said, what did you do? He said, I abused him as a little boy. And we broke it off, cast him out. And instantly, the transition was just like, woof. This man knew what his problem was. He got delivered. Just all the stuff came out. He was dancing, jumping, singing, shouting the door of joy. And it only took 20 minutes. But that man had been struggling as a Christian for something like 30 years, trying hard to do what the Bible said, to do what doing good instead of being delivered. Amen? It was so exciting, wasn't it, James? We were just free, and I was ready to have 4 hours worth of deliverance. But praise God.
This guy came to our last full gospel meeting in Te Awamutu. And I've never seen him. He was transformed. The guy I just prayed about. He was always under the cloud, under a cloud. Oh, things are always going bad. He got up. You know, I was leading the worship there. He just had hands to the sky, and he was just full. And he shared testimony. But come on, share your testimony. It was just wonderful. The fruit of it, just totally set free. A transformed man.
All I know is, you know, this isn't a Jeff ministry. You know. Like my brother was saying, healing evangelist stuff. It's not about a healing evangelist. Jesus in us, amen? We're down at Wellington with Deandra. And what I love about Deandra is he makes you work. Went down the month before and we drive all the way to Wellington. And as I get out of the van, he's already got a text saying, look, the guys at the building site are going to be finished soon. And I'm taking you around there as soon as you get out of the van. So he drags me around the corner, dumps me in the middle of these builders who are drinking beer and says, tell them about Jesus, basically. So I get in the middle and I said, well, I know you guys don't know who I am. And you may not have any desire even to know Jesus, but let me tell you my story. I told them my story and then I challenged them. There was four of them. And I said, this big Maori guy, I said, listen, buddy, have you got any Christian background? He said, oh, went to a Christian boarding school. But now, you know, I'm not really interested in that. Well, I said, well, God's going to make it interesting for you now. I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to touch you. He said, all right. So I prayed for my Deandra. Power of God hit him, whoomp. And I turned around to these other three. And I said, did you see what happened to him? He said, oh no, we felt it. One of the guys had been drinking so much, he ran out because he was a bit scared that he was going to be. But all four of them came back. Now, the point was that the kingdom of God was within us. Amen. I praise God for every time somebody rings me up and throws me in somewhere I can never ministered before. Because I know when I can't, he can. Amen. And we must be ready. We must be ready.
Give you a little bit of rest now. I just love Jeff. I was introduced to Full Gospel about 5 years ago. And I went to all the meetings. Nothing was happening. In my view, I didn't see any action. It's a whole lot of people getting together and eating greasy foods and getting sick. And then we started this traditional Full Gospel dinner meetings. Everybody came, had dinner, and they went off. Nothing was happening. I said, look, we're going to change this. We're going to have a healing service. And Brian Martin, he told, look, it's not going to work because no one will come. I think we've started the first one. It was full. Jeff came. And what I like about Jeff, because I come from business, and when you came to the Wellington meeting, Deputy Mayor told, watch out for that guy. I'm known in the business, not in the Full Gospel community. So Jeff arrived to Wellington, started preaching, and I could see the power that's coming out of his preaching. He's loud, he gets there. I want to get results. I'm a results person, so I kept on standardizing Jeff coming every month with his team. Trevor has been there, Stan has been there, James has been there. When I first joined Full Gospel, I was anointed by the leaders, Keith Woodson, Graham Simpson, Michael O'Loughlin. I didn't know what happened. I went to a meeting. They all got hold of me and prayed for me. Nothing happened. But with the timing, I began to change. The Spirit hit me. And what we have done now in Wellington is remarkable. We went to all the churches. We spoke to the pastors. I said, look, we are not a church, but we are a full gospel people, and we can bring you more clients. But they all tuned to this message. And the Anglican Church in Johnsonville actually gave their hall to us. Once the hall couldn't be booked, it was inside the church, the meeting was going on. And the deliverance was so powerful, and it's people being delivered. That's calling for results. I landed in Hamilton Airport today. I ran people. Two people, they're coming. How many of you have invited people? Look at this meeting. How many? Bring two people to this session. That's about reaching. Just like undercover agents walking about, not telling anyone anything. So this is the power. So two people are coming. One of them is a new Christian that I actually met in our church in Wellington, who gave himself to Christ. And this Hindu gentleman, he and his wife, they come different times. Another lady is in Tauranga. She's driving tomorrow to be here. So this is the power of the invitation. I just want to cut it short. So we are now having, maybe, I don't know, we have reached about more than 200 people, Jeff, in Wellington. So last night we had a meeting in our house, and this man, David, came. Jeff prayed for him last time, and he was able to come out of the crutches, but he went to unbelief, and he came to our house, and he was just about to walk out at about 10:45, 11 o'clock at night from our house. I said, look, can I do what Jeff was doing? Okay? I always rely on you. So Gloria, my wife, was filled with the Spirit, and she was burning, and David now on crutches, just about to collapse. Okay? Burning, and he just came like this. He came just right up like this. Holy Spirit was moving through his body, and I had to call for more reinforcement, so I rang Jeff. And it was a power of that prayer. This Holy Spirit was just going through a lightning rod. I was hanging on to his muscles. They were just tight. This guy has not been able to walk at all. He just came totally upright. And that's a power. I really thank you, Jeff. You've just been there for... But I know it is. But it is your commitment to deliver results. I just want to get those results out. And we had a lady came to my clinic, and she said, look, she's got breast cancer. Breast removed, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and everything done. Lungs full of fluid, and I was just taking the case taking. And she said, my sister died at 42 with breast cancer. I said, this is a generational curse. I said, you need to know the Holy Spirit. I never spoken like that. I said, you need to know the Holy Spirit. And Jeff's been praying. Beth has been praying. She can breathe. She's gone back to work. This is the full power of the full gospel. Gentlemen, you need to start reaching. We cannot be. It's not yesterday. It's right now. We have to start getting up from our chairs. Just pick up those phones. Start ringing people. And fill up this hall. Thank you.
Thanks, Dandra. Well, guys, you can turn your hearing aids back up now that Jeff's finished. The only thing about Jeff is he gets real excited. Come up. He gets real excited. And I've got a bunch of people I've been meeting with in a chapter, and I get people that are given testimonies. They've come out of, prison backgrounds and all sorts of stuff. And these four guys from a mainstream church, they said, Graham, we don't like it when you get these guys. He said, we're gradual Christians. I said, don't you get excited when someone's life's changed by Jesus? And they don't like it because they're threatened. Oh, yeah. Good one. Michael.
Thank you. Michael O'Loughlin from Rotorua, Ahopi. And I was just listening to Andrew there, and he said we prayed for him and nothing happened. And I laughed because that's the story of my life. I seem to pray for people and nothing happens. But it does. And I... Diane's here now. I prayed for him well before this occasion. He's talking about there, and the Lord just works. I think sometimes we just got to have the courage to actually step out and do it. I got a message. I live in Whakatane, and this lady who went to our church, I didn't know her. She was having all these spiritual problems, and. She'd been to see some other ladies at down at the Presbyterian Church, and they had prayed for her, and they had discerned that she had some spiritual problems there. And then a friend said, was telling me all about it. I said, well, she goes to our church, we should be praying for her. Oh, okay. How do we do that? Oh, well, we gathered a couple of people, my wife, and I said, look, let's, you know her, ask her if she'd like us to come round. So she did, and she said yes. So we went around there to her place. Her husband was supposed to be there, but he has shift work and he wasn't. But her daughter was also, who was 16 or 15, I think, was having these spiritual problems too. The sort of things were pictures on the wall, the eyes were following her as she walked around the, down the passageway, etc. There were ancestral and spiritual things there. But she'd also been dabbling in the occult, really, with trying to find some remedies, I guess, really. And she'd had, I can't think of the name of all these people, around to help her. And they hadn't really helped her at all, although she, at times she thought so, but they hadn't. So we prayed for her and broke curses and whatever, and this is all pretty new, but I had a little bit of knowledge of it. And we left her there, and then I found out that there was some more things were still happening. So, well, okay, we've got to pray again. So we went back to see her. And this time her husband was there, and it turns out that one of these, I can't think of their names, these people who deal in this sort of stuff, but not in a Christian way, had planted a coil, copper coil, in the garden, or well, actually in the garden that one was, and a brick under their lawn. Which was supposed to give some sort of power and release. So when she told us about this, said, well, we better find these things. They couldn't remember where they were, had a vague idea, and it, a lawn had been put down over the area, and a husband, who wasn't a Christian, he had an idea where they were. And so we got a bit of wire, he got a bit of wire and started to poke around and try to find things. Couldn't find them, we prayed. And then so we struck something, dug down, and yeah, here's this brick. Bring it up. Now what about the coil? Well, they couldn't remember that, but it was over in the garden, they thought. And so the same thing happened with Doug. Well, they dug. The husband dug, we didn't dig. And we found this coil and got both these items out of it. That lady has been delivered of those spirits and that now, and her daughter has had prayer. I'm not sure if she's fully delivered either, but it's on the way. But the thing is, it was really scary going around there that first time, someone you don't know, and to pray for them. And I think we just got to take that the Lord leads us. We just got to do it. That's really what my message is there.
Thanks, Michael.